Welcome. This is Tangerine Dream Team. Welcome to you, Sherilyn. How are you?
Hi. Thank you, Coral. I'm well. How are you?
Turn her up. Oh. Yeah. She asked you how you were. All right. I'm doing fine.
Okay.
I just can't hear you.
We got everybody online, right?
We're getting all situated here and the peace and the joy.
All right. Now I can hear.
Okay. Good.
Oh, good. Oh, good. A little bit of music background. Sherilyn, you're living in Sedona?
Yes. I'm living in Sedona. You know what?
And we're in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Yes.
The music is actually a little loud. It's hard to hear you.
Yes, it's coming down right now.
Okay.
How's that?
That's...
Okay, now how's that?
That's better, yeah. Good.
Yay.
Great. Okay, Sherilyn, we introduced you a little right before you called, and we wanted to tell everyone that you have a magnificent website and that you do lots of beautiful art, and you heal through your art by allowing what inspiration you get and use of nature, spirit, of your own in tuning into the higher dimensions and the bliss of the real world. Is that a fair way to talk about what you're doing right now?
Bliss of the real world.
Well, don't, you know, you can restate it.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we define the real world as being the unseen?
Okay. Yes, that's what I hear when you say that.
Right.
The unseen and perhaps the higher dimensions that are side by side in the, you know, fifth third dimension. So the real world outside of the illusion.
Right. The really real. Yes. I use that because real inspiration is from a real, what I mean, not what the media says is real, but I'm saying what our senses and our true feelings say, and all our, you know, senses, all our, because we're all in a relationship to everything.
Yes, what our hearts say.
And it's what our hearts, yeah.
I hear.
Anyway, that.
Well, thank you. It is true.
Okay. Is it fun right now? Is it happening for you? Are you creating every day, or are you doing any shows, or what are you doing?
Well, yes, I'm creating every day. I like to word it that I paint and play and pray.
Huh.
So it's, I feel very honored that I get to do what I love, and that what I love gets to be a prayer. So, yeah, and I do that every day. So I am exhibiting at a place here in Sedona called the Chocolate Tree Oasis, which is a vegan restaurant that is a hub and a portal of love here in Sedona, and why I could actually feel like I could move back. Yeah, they serve up yummy, organic, vegan food and raw chocolates and...
Oh, yeah.
The most amazing food, because it is cooked so consciously and conscious love is put into it. And so the synergy of my art hanging on the walls there, and they sell my deck of cards there. They have a deck open on every table. So when I came to Sedona and found out that they were selling my cards, that was one of the reasons that really brought me back here, I lived here before from 2002 for a few years, and then moved to Hawaii for a year, and then moved to Glastonbury, England for on and off, but I'm not sure. But for, you know, first 6 months, and then I would only do summer times because winter and fall were a bit hard for me because it was so dark. But they sell my art over there, so I kind of just kind of jumped around and painted and played and prayed in many different sacred places. And now I've landed back in Sedona, and I'm very happy about that. So if you ever come to Sedona, come and visit me. We have beautiful garden, and you can sometimes find me dressed like a fairy painting children's faces and playing in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of fun here. And I do soul paintings, and that's what I'm working on right now. Actually bringing the higher aspect of a person through on the canvas.
Could you explain what you mean by that?
Bringing through a higher aspect of the higher self of whomever I'm painting.
Yeah. How would a person know that you're getting their higher aspect?
Well, I make a prayer invocation with them, and with the intention that our higher selves work together and to bring through the highest light love. Anything that needs to be transformed, I ask that it be shown for me. That's important for me to be able to share with them or transform for them. In particular, the one that I'm working on right now, the man was bit in his right hand by a rattlesnake last part of summer.
Uh-huh.
Baby rattlesnake. At his right hand, and then he had also been bit on the right hand by a rabid fox.
Really?
And repetitive on scorpions, and so he had some issues that he's clearing there. And then, so we're working on that consciously together right now. So we're working on that and bringing through his higher self, and that's how it works. And everybody's always different, of course.
That's your soul paintings. And does he come every so often, every week, or do you have a scheduled time for him to work with him?
No, I actually, there's been times where I don't even meet the person.
Oh, I see.
Although I like to, and especially when I deliver the painting. But the less I know begin with, I like that better because then spirit reveals itself without my mind getting in the way.
Okay.
So, I met with him, made a prayer invocation with him, and now I will work on the painting. I like to take at least 8 weeks and work on it, meditate with it for during that duration. Then I write a manuscript out, and then I will deliver it. In his case, he's not far away, so he'll come to my studio, and I do a little ceremony when I give it to him, like that.
And what kind of ceremony is it? Using some shamanic tools?
Yeah.
Would you describe it that way?
Yeah, I like to work. This is actually how I paint as well. I'll use sacred waters, I'll use crystals, the grid, the canvas before I even put any paint on it. With him, and that's always different too. I'll intuit for each person, but I might have him hold some crystals, and I have crystal bowls and drums, and I have a crystal didgeridoo, and chimes and bells and singing crystals and all kinds of fun musical intonations that get to be brought in to do the blessing as I deliver his painting to him, like that.
Is it to enlighten a person or to make them feel more comfortable? Do you consider something amusing or fun? Not amusing, but something to lighten them up? Or is that wrong?
No, I don't know if I need to lighten. Yes, literally, I guess you could say lighten them up. And it's fun.
Yeah, okay.
And when I started working this way, which was, way, way over decades, I was just playing because I liked to. And then eventually I started to realize, wow, working with sacred water really, really makes a powerful difference. And gritting with crystals and all these ways that I was simply enjoying the play is actually powerful medicine.
So playing can be powerful because it's us letting go of your conscious will, or is allowing spirit to come through?
Yeah, and allowing that inner child that most of us really kind of lost along the way in our upbringing, in the conditioning,
our
teachings and such. With
our wounded child, somewhat.
Our wounded child, as we transform those, you know, brings such amazing gifts. And the more I let my wounded child play, the more I heal, the more magic I see in my world, right?
Because you create from the moment. Is that what you do?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
I do better at creating in the moment while I'm painting than I do, you know, I have to work a lot harder at it as I'm walking in the world outside of my creative space. Well, it's all a creative space, but inside my studio when I'm painting, it's become so easy to just, it's easy to get out of my way and really slip into that theta state where I call it like the magic, well, the magic space where magic and spirit can really work through me. So in playing and painting and praying that way, it's basically taught me how to walk in the world in a more conscious way.
I like that, the order that way. I know. I feel like if we can be children and get children to like us and be like them, it seems so much more calm to be in the world, and you can figure out what you're supposed to be doing there.
Yeah.
In a conscious way. I mean, it's a different way to look at being an adult.
Yeah. Our children really know the way.
Yeah. Thankfully, we can have children still. Because even though sometimes it's hard to think about what their futures might be, so we have to just be with them and hope the best is going to always be for them.
Yeah, I continue to keep a positive vision for our future and our children, and I do the best I can that way. And the best way that I hold that vision in my own personal practice is to transform that which really isn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And bring forth that which is me, and allowing myself to be the authentic, creatively expressive child that I am, and set that intention. Claim my dominion over my own space, and say this is what I see for my future. This is what I want now. I want pure organic earth.
Mm-hmm.
I want pure, pristine, high vibrational air, water full of vibrant life. You know?
Yeah, huh?
Crops, pure, organic, healthy bodies, healthy community around me. I just keep, no matter what's going on in the world, or the chemtrails flying above my head, I just continue to see what it is I love.
And yeah,
you know, I don't let it get me down too much. I don't let it keep me down. Like that song, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, don't let it get me down.
Wow.
I aspire, right? You know, I aspire to this. I work on it daily. Yeah.
Do you say the same things to yourself every day? Do you let music help you, or is there some other way you aspire besides playing? Do you have any?
Every day I start my day greeting the sunrise and singing and honoring and gratitude song to the mother, the father, and thanking for the day, and then I speak to the trees, and if I, you know, I do this most every day. If I miss a day, I can be okay if I miss a day. Sometimes I do. If I miss two or three, I find I'll get off. I'll get off kilter. It's really what anchors me so that I can walk through my day in a good way. And what I say, it of course changes all the time, but what I have been saying is for my personal affirmation is that I am and I radiate unconditional love. I have these special shoes that I wear, well, not all the time, depending on the weather, but they're, I actually give the command to my feet to be goddess blessing feet. So every step I take, I'm blessing the goddess.
Excellent.
I like to make my walk as best I can like that consciously so that it just helps me. It helps me be happy.
That sounds wonderful. Are you wanting to have any other questions or phone calls come in? Right. Ready to take any questions?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, if somebody somebody has a question, sure.
I think somebody might have a question. How about you, Hope?
Hope's here, and Hope is listening, and Hope is just so excited to hear what you're saying. It's so beautiful to share space with people who view the world in this way. It's inspiring, and really to hear your center and to share that with us. I just wanted to thank you for doing that. And you know, looking at your work, I see the healing value and experience the healing value. And there was one work that I came across that just blew my mind, and that was the Mother Goddess on the rock.
Oh.
Oh, I about fainted when I saw that. That turned me on so much. Is it still there?
Yes.
Oh, how fabulous. I want to fly out and see it.
Oh, please do.
Me too.
I would be honored. That was done, it's actually on the National Forest in Sedona. I have a little story.
I'd love to hear it.
I used to live there, accessible, and there's a medicine wheel that I worked, and there was this big, huge rock, 6 feet tall, that was an altar. And one day, I basically almost crawled up there in an humbled, broken-spirited way, in my anger and my rage. Mm-hmm. And I sat before this altar and, you know, seeking solace and peace in nature, something that I've done since I'm a little girl. And I'm just full of myself and all this energy inside me, and I'm looking up at this rock suddenly, and I saw her.
Wow.
I saw the lines of her face.
You saw her looking out at you. Oh, that's just so cool.
It is.
Oh.
I saw the lines in her face, and it's how I paint on the canvas. I don't imagine what I'm going to paint on these canvases, not for a very, very long time. I let Spirit show me what's there. And suddenly Spirit was showing me what was there on the rock. And so I went and got my paint, and for the next 2 weeks, I was out there in the mid-hot summer, donut.
Oh,
every day, all day long, I was painting, bringing Mother Goddess through. And then, after I completed her, on the other side of this medicine wheel, auspiciously placed, which I don't know if you saw, was Father God Tree of Life.
Oh, we're looking right now.
I didn't find that one.
Wow, I can't wait to see it.
And the same, and I think there might be some photographs of me painting in,
yes,
in where you can actually see that I'm following the lines.
Oh, wow.
And that is, wow, which section of your website?
I think you can see these in poetry,
okay,
and you can also see these, mm-hmm, in the main gallery. I have four galleries.
Mm-hmm.
In the main gallery. Is that, mm-hmm, that's probably where you're at right now, right?
Yeah. Twirling around there.
Yeah, so Mother Goddess.
I see you.
Yeah, and then Father God Tree of Life.
And this is at Mystic Art.
Which brought in the perfect masculine feminine balance, which only Spirit Creator God could have inspired me to
yes,
see.
Especially in that space, carrying both sides weighted that,
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And what size is that? It looks very huge.
Coral, were you just asking about what the website was?
Yeah. No, we are there. It's mysticartmedicine.com.
Okay.
And I wondered what size the Magda...
She's about 6 feet tall.
Wow. And she really looks like she is going to speak to you.
Well, she does.
She does. I can imagine that she does. I mean, you can almost hear her voice just looking at the picture in the computer. It's crazy.
Mm.
She's really powerful.
Well, it was my gift to her because I knew that I wasn't ever going to sell her.
Yeah.
How did the national park, or were they okay with that? Was that park land or was that your own land?
It is national forest, uh-huh, but it's not where people travel.
Okay.
It was national forest in the back of my house.
Oh, sure. Oh,
so
sweet.
I don't live there anymore, but the man who owns the house knows that I painted it. So I do have permission to, I go back there and to honor and clean up the altar at times,
yes,
and just to sit. And I've brought people there, and it's the medicine wheel itself, the way it's just a very, it was before I painted, but even now that those spirits are there, it's a very, very, mm-hmm, powerful place to do healing work, to get healing, to receive,
mm-hmm,
healing.
Very powerful. Great place to have ceremony.
Make prayers. And
uh-huh,
make prayers.
Yeah.
Oh, the National Forest by Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody will be able to find it.
Right. Okay.
they'll have to go through me.
Okay, it's worth it. It's worth it if you're... There's probably not a lot of people listening from Sedona right now. But,
no.
But they should.
But
they really should.
Where are some other inspiring spots that you go to there?
In Sedona, well, near Sedona, there's
near.
My most... Well, outside of this medicine wheel... My most favorite, absolute heart touching place is the Montezuma as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Well, it's a huge sinkhole, well, It's the first, let's see, how do I start this? It's the first place in the Americas that they have found that was irrigated. So it's the first place that they plant crops.
Wow.
In the Americas. First place.
That's now, incredible.
The Hopi and the Apache, to my understanding, go there and use the sacred water in ceremonies. And their lineage, and this is my understanding too, their lineage believed that when the peoples went underground in the last shift, Atlantis, I believe.
That was a while ago.
Then they lived underground for quite a while.
Right.
And then their seers knew when it was safe to come up above.
Okay.
And it said that and this is scientifically proven, that there was a low, shallow lake. Uh-huh. The bottom was limestone. And these people came above.
Uh-huh.
The shallow lake collapsed, creating I guess it would be called a sinkhole. I mean, it creates a great big huge bowl.
It does say that. Uh-huh. It says here.
Uh-huh. And then they built, you can still see them today, some of the ruins of their dwellings along the cliffs.
Oh.
And then this, my real most favorite part of visiting this space is there's a place where the well lets out and the irrigation begins for them, and where the water comes out, which kind of feels like a headwater, right? It's uncertain. I can't even put words to how magical it is.
It says it's a unique ecosystem with several plants that animals found nowhere else on Earth.
Wow, I didn't really even know that.
Closed
ecosystem. I've gone there. Even before I lived here in Sedona, I visited there, and I had to go 3 days in a row. And I would have spent my whole time there, except I was with other people, and they want to see other things. Like, I just want to be here. But I go back there often, and I've had some pretty phenomenal experiences there. Once I was there by myself, just singing prayers, thinking I was alone, and above me came two birds that flew right above me, and they both made a figure eight opposite each other. They kept going above me, figure eights, right above me for a really long time. And I brought, there was a woman visiting from L.A., and she was really in dire need of some cleansing and healing. And I'd never done this before, but I take everybody I know there. But we were there by where the water comes out, and I just thought, we got to get in the water. And so to make it easy for her, I did it first. And I laid myself in the water just so it would cover my ears.
Oh.
And I allowed the free, gentle current to take me as far as it would, and just along a little bend. It's not very far, maybe 50 feet at the most. And I stood up and got out of the water, and I was so high I couldn't even talk to anybody for a little while. And so, needless to say, I had brought my drum. And we stayed all day. We did it over and over and over. Even some of the tourists that came by did it.
Oh,
it was, it's oh, very special. It's very healing water.
Oh. So that's what sacred water is. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a lot of the same desert flora? Is it near Sedona enough that you'd have a lot of the same grasses and yes. Cactus and shrubs?
Oh, yes.
Wildflowers.
Yes. Yeah.
Ah. I know I've been to the cliff dwellings in Arizona. I didn't put the two together. I think that might have... It's been a long time, though.
There's another place called Montezuma's Castle.
That's true.
Which is cliff dwellings. And I did visit there once, but it's not the... For me, it's not the... It's not... there's no comparison to the feeling. Of course, you know, I mean, okay, so this well is 76 degrees all year round. It's fed from the third largest lake in the world, 2,000 feet below the surface, and the scientists call her Big Mama.
Oh.
So, of course, she's a special feeling place, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You stay there and paint when you go?
No, I haven't ever painted there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've painted with the water.
Oh, really?
I've brought the water home and painted there, yeah.
That's what I would want to do, too, yeah. Have that. Then, otherwise, when you have when you heal people with water, you are at Sedona, and what water do you use there?
That water.
That
from
always.
Sedona, that it would be that water. I also live near Oak Creek.
Right.
Which is the waterway that runs through the canyon here in Sedona. We actually have really, really close, like, right up the canyon, you can hit pine trees and green, lush forest feelings.
I remember that.
It's one of the reasons why I knew I could live here. I live near that. I have to live near the water. I'm a mermaid, so I couldn't be too far away from any water, bodies of water, or I start to really suffer.
That's fascinating.
Dry up.
I mean,
I take my blank canvas out before I do anything, and I'll cleanse it. I'll bathe it in the river. I call her a river. She's called Oak Creek, but she tells me she's a river. So I call her a river. So I cleanse it in the river.
Are there big sizes or are different sizes of canvas that you use?
I use all different sizes.
I'm looking at some of the finished photos, and you have names for them all. Aboriginal Dream, Archangel Michael's Fire, Awakening, such as those, and that's under your main gallery. Are these large paintings that you did, or are they for people, or are they mixed together in a way?
There are some that were commissioned. So, like in the main gallery, if I'm remembering correctly, Tanzanite Christ, Cosmic Christ. Excuse me, it was actually Cosmic Christ, but I used the Tanzanite crystal to bring him through. That was a commission when I was in Glastonbury, England. I was commissioned to paint the Merlin when I was in Glastonbury, England. I was actually commissioned to paint the Magdalene at the Chalice Well the second day I got there.
Oh, my goodness.
In the Isle of Avalon to paint the Magdalene. I couldn't have imagined a more gracious, honoring gift, welcoming by the goddess than that. So to answer your question, many of those are commissions and some of those are not. And some of them are large, and most of them are large. If I have my choice, I like to paint at least on 30 by 40, if not larger. As a general, soul paintings are usually 16 by 20, and sometimes I'm asked to paint on a soul painting on a larger painting, I mean on a larger canvas.
Larger even than that?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
And you have the studio there and several that you store there? Or is everything gone? Like you have them and people, do you have many there right now?
In my studio, I have a few choice, special ones here. And many of them are gone, and many of them
just seems so immense, the amount.
I have painted well, up until recently I've painted almost daily for over 25 years. The body of work that I have, I had to paint. I had to paint. That was what gave me passion enough to want to stay here.
I see. do you use some natural kinds of paint sometimes, or is it acrylic mostly?
I do. I use, I used to only use, I use acrylics. I've tried oils a very little bit. I'm grateful that I didn't really get into oils, because I've met people that have painted like me. I used to paint 15, 18 hours a day. And
oh,
if I had been using oils, I know I'm already so chemically sensitive that I would have probably really serious health problems by now. So I'm grateful that I use acrylics. And then I also use, I've ground up lapis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then there's a trading post here in Sedona, a real deal kind of trading post, just one. But he sells, I use mica, but he also sells essences of the earth that I mix into paint to make colors. And I also have discovered mica, that there's, I've used mica for years, that I've collected like around the Rio Grande and out by rivers and out in nature. But there's also mica that's natural colors, which I've just recently, in the last couple of years, got turned on to. And that's what I paint the children's faces with, because it's natural. It's not putting any kind of chemicals on their face at all. And it's really pretty. Really pretty colors. Fluorescent.
I saw a photo of one child. I can maybe find that again. Yeah. Have you done that at this restaurant or a mace?
I've really only done it once so far, but I do intend on doing it more. We've had winter time, and when the winter, we don't spend much time in the garden in the winter because it's cold. But now the weather's warming up, so I'll be doing it more. And I just do that because I love to play with children, and I love it brings out their playful. I just love even beaming.
That's so wonderful.
Beaming out the fairy in them.
Oh yeah, that reminds me of the fact that you can do and teach how to make fairy gardens.
Fairy altars, you mean?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
How would a person do that?
Well, I can tell you how I've done it.
Okay.
And I've had a fairy altar. Well, I've had one in my house too. Right now I don't, but I've had a fairy altar outside for 10 years, and I acquired an old antique birdcage that looks like a castle.
Oh.
That was made in India originally. My mom had it. She didn't want it. And I'm like, I want it. So I got it home, and I leave all the doors open. Even when I had a bird, I would never close the birdcage, because if I was a bird, I would never want to be locked in, right?
Right.
We leave the doors open, and I painted it a pretty iridescent color, and I put crystals all around it, and I frequent it. actually daily. And I've seen the fairies.
What do you mean you've seen them?
Well, I've only seen them twice, three-dimensionally. That I can say for sure. I may have seen some one other time, but I can't say that for sure. It was up near Cathedral Rock, but I didn't see it up close and personal, so I can't say. It could have been a bug. It certainly looked like a fairy.
Okay.
But up close and personal, about 12 years ago, now I could never make this happen again, and believe you, me, I would if I could. They just don't do that. You get to see them when they let you. But I saw a fairy in my fire. So it was a fire fairy. And and a month later, I saw her again. And the second time I saw her, she was holding a five-pointed star. And then her whole image shape-shifted into a seahorse. And I thought, well, seahorses are cute, but I don't know, what's a seahorse? I mean, I know about eagles, and I know about, you know, medicine of the snake and of this and that, but what's a seahorse? Well, I went to bed, and I had this friend I'd met actually through my art, this amazing woman, and she would call me very rarely, but whenever she did call me, it was always with, I had a dream, or, you know, and so she called me the next morning, woke me up, didn't even say hello. She just goes, girl, something about the seahorse. And I went, hello, what are you talking about? She said, well, it's what we're missing in our men. You know, the seahorse carries the babies. In the species of the seahorse male carries the babies.
Yeah.
In the birthing process, right? And so she was, you know, for the medicine of the seahorse, I've come to understand through, you know, her and through, you know, then really looking at the seahorse and seeing what the seahorse, how the seahorse is that, and then the seahorse goes into some of my paintings that way, is like bringing in that male part, that divine male part of creation, in raising and bringing, you know, in raising our children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say a little bit more so I can, when you bring a divine male part into the creation of your art or into your life?
Into, well, specifically what I was speaking to was into the art.
Okay.
So the medicine of the seahorse, when I see the seahorse in a painting, whether it comes in somebody's soul painting, or it shows up in Medicine Baby, that painting that's there in the main gallery, I'm knowing that there's, I'll tell you, I got a little story about the seahorse. So because of this vision that I had of the fairy morphing into the seahorse, I painted a seahorse on a relatively small canvas to honor my vision. And I had it for about a year, and it wasn't really something that was real, in my opinion, of a real great painting, but it was, you know, honoring the seahorse. So about a year after, I thought, okay, I honored this long enough, and I like to recycle canvases. So sometimes people bring me old canvases that have already been painted on, and I'll use them. I'll square them and bless them and use them. I like to recycle. And so I just covered this one up with new paint, intending on doing a whole new painting. And I eventually completed this painting. It's an amazing, one of my, in my opinion, masterpieces that came through. It was originally called Prayer for Africa. So there's a Buddha man in the center.
Oh, okay.
And there's know, in the outskirts of it, there's a giraffe and an elephant, and kind of that part of it's all a little bit almost abstract, but if you look, you can see. And so it was called Prayer for Africa. I had a show. This is when I was living in Malibu, California at the time. I was living in the mountains of Malibu on ancient Chumash tribal ceremonials for about 5 years. In those time periods, I painted 15, 18 hours a day, and that's where I created this painting, and that's where I saw the fairies. So I had a show. I used to do a lot of activism work, and I had this show at a place called Earthwave Foundation, which is on the cliffs of Malibu. It's still there. And it was a lot of people at the show. Big event, big, big event. We had raw food catered and music, and people I didn't even know were there. And there was a lady who came over, and she used the finger. She said, "Come here, come here." She said, "Did you glue a seahorse in this painting?" And I knew which painting. She showed me which one she was talking about, and so down the hall. And so we walked over to it, and me knowing the story of the seahorse and what was under there and the whole honoring the vision of the seahorse, I'm like, show me, what are you talking about? Well, she showed me on the original, there was like a, it is a perfect seahorse that looked like I glued it on there. And it was the way the paint dried on there. But I never touched it with my brush consciously. It was just the way it dried looks like a seahorse. Now in the print, you can see it.
And where can I see it?
It's in the main gallery. It's now called Vision of the Seahorse's Prayer for Africa. Long title, but I had to give that. I had to put it in there.
All right. Go ahead now.
And so what I realized at that moment is the spirit of the seahorse came through.
Oh.
Without me even knowing at first. So there's so many magical stories, and each painting.
I see it.
Most of the paintings hold a magical story like that. And they're always all different. But I kind of, like, well, I guess I could just say it bluntly. I started a deal with God years ago. Like, you show me the magic, and I'll stay. So, I used to see a lot of magic. I live for it. And I love it.
Yeah. And I can remember as a child loving to win these little seahorses that were actually sent to me for doing art contests in the newspaper when they had prizes. And that was just a minor prize.
Oh.
But there were some huge prizes. But they had, as part of, sometimes you would get little seahorses.
Alive?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's funny.
You know, sometimes they give you a fist and a little bag, right?
Yeah. It's just, I don't know if I've ever seen a live seahorse, but...
Well, only in the ocean.
And where, which ocean, part of the ocean?
Me?
Yeah.
I've never, maybe, like, in the warmer water.
I would say, yeah.
But I'm not certain about that. I've only seen the seahorse in vision.
Yeah.
So far.
Vision of the Seahorse's Prayer for Africa. Here he is. And I'm looking for the part that he's just were describing.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's going to be, I'm not even, so maybe I should go in front of my computer and see if I can see it.
I might have to enlarge this painting.
It will be on the left-hand side, more towards the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to open to my website so I can look at it with you and see if I can guide you. But.
And is it a darker color? So I see a redder color. Oh, I see a really dark one now.
No, it's kind of really just like a real seahorse. color was red. And now that I'm here, when people go onto my website, if they choose to and they want to know where I am, they can go now, shows and events.
Okay.
And that will talk about chocolate tree and little shows and things that I've done and doing and stuff like that. So I'm looking, getting down to it now.
Because you have printed copyright over lettering, so maybe it's covering up part of it.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry.
So I can still tell that it's under there.
Oh, yes? Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
and where is this painting now?
The original fold. At that show, the woman lives in L.A., and she's always let me know that it's a lot. She's so beautiful. It's why I could allow. It's beautiful, actually. She knows it has a life of its own, and if it ever needs to go out to a show to be shown, that she allows that.
Oh.
And she would allow that.
That's a good way to look at the art world.
That's how I look at my paintings. They have a life of their own. They are like, they're like, you know, we birth our children, and then they have a mission in life, and not really up to us to say what their mission is. So, like, there was, with Archangel Michael.
Yeah.
There was a retreat center here in Sedona. Actually, the one where the people, this was way before that happened, but where James Ray and the people died in the sweat lodge.
Right.
They wanted to buy the original. And I was feeling kind of strange about it. And I went to him. I went literally, stood in front of him in the painting and said, look, these Angel Valley wants to buy you. Is this where you're meant to go? If not, let me know. And 1 week later, a man showed up from Glastonbury, England, which is how I ended up there eventually, because he ended up buying a whole bunch of my prints and selling the art there. He purchased Archangel Michael, telling me that he wanted to grid the Archangel Michael and Mother Mary line and grid and bring the energies of Sedona and connecting Glastonbury and Isle of Avalon and Sedona using the Archangel Michael line, energy line, ley line.
Ah.
And I think he's hanging now in the Archangel Michael Chapel, but for a good 5-6 years, he hung in the chalice well to protect the garden, was what I was told. At the chalice well. So there's an example of Archangel Michael, and that painting, Archangel Michael, had a mission.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what I was getting at, yeah.
And people can project what they think the will could be right then, but it's not a permanent assignment or anything.
Yeah.
So where is he now?
He's hanging in the Archangel Michael Chapel, I believe. I haven't been back to England for a couple of years now. I'm going to be going probably, hopefully this summer.
Mm-hmm. And where did you grow up? Not in a cold climate, but not in Arizona either.
No, I'm from Southern California originally. Orange County, don't tell anybody.
I love this orange color. Here it is. Oh, well.
Have I you ran heard away from home when I was 15 years old, and I went to San Francisco.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Have you heard of Cherry Valley?
No.
Okay. I have. I only heard of it once. It's in Orange County, though. Cherries and oranges. what a long... I want to ask you about your poetry next. And is it some of your prose also? Have you done more poetry than prose?
I don't know, really. To be honest, I don't even know the difference. I just... sometimes...
Yeah, well, I don't either.
Oh.
But sometimes when it's long, it's like paragraphs or something.
Oh, well, there's a spoken word that came through for, in particular, Creation's Child, which was a painting that I painted to heal my childhood in 2000, the year 2000 I started. And I am just painting that one now, believe it or not. I thought I was finished at that show that I was talking about in Malibu, where the vision of the seahorses turned for Africa souls. I also did a performance piece of Creation's Child, which at the time was basically, well, it wasn't completely monochromatic, but it was all red and black with a little bit of light blue in it for healing. And my intention was, because I come from a very severely abusive childhood. And so I painted my pain and then brought through healing. And at that show, there was the wife of a rock star offered me a lot of money for it. And Spirit guided me not. Spirit guided me to say no, not to sell it. And I didn't know why. I was a single mom and really could use the money. But I didn't know why. I knew the painting was very, very healing. I knew that when people stood in front of it, they would be speechless and sometimes sit there for a really long time. So I thought, well, maybe, obviously it wasn't meant to be in some one person's home.
Uh-huh.
Only a few people can see it. And I thought maybe it's meant to be in a museum. Tolerance is the museum that came to mind, actually. But it wasn't until I put it in storage and moved to Hawaii for a year and then moved to Glastonbury, England from there and traveled quite a bit. And then came back to Sedona for an art show. And again, I didn't think I was going to move back here, but I did. I got invited to move back here. So I did. Got a studio again, got my paintings out of storage, these big paintings that I had, and sat in front of Creation's Child and started to see that this spoken word that came through me in one night now was being, that there were parts of it that spoke in the spoken word that were there in the painting waiting to be painted. You understand what I mean by that?
Now I'm looking at Creation's Child right now, and there are parts that you've just finished, but that are waiting still?
Let's see. Let me see if I can, let's see. So part of it, it starts out, prepare yourself for the ultimate fight. On the tail of a dragon, lie through the dungeon into the light. And it does, and the spoken word's about a little bit more than 15 minutes of saying it straight through. Long spoken word. And it takes you really, really into the dark, into the dungeon, you know. Blue was the color that accompanied black on her body that was beaten for her sins forth and back. She was an amnesiac when she heard the parasitic maniac. Who am I? What have I become? How can I get out of this unbearable numb? Lost in the past she knew not, which is now. She tried to escape. She had to know how to block it out, make it go black. How did it work? She was an insomnia. So then it goes into the dark like that, and then it comes out into the light. So, she does her best in her intention to become the will to live, to open heart, to be the truth, to share God's gift. Give. A lot of roots down. on guard that the child's prayers unleash the chains of the thoughts in the darkness caught. So in the original, at the time that this woman wanted to buy this painting,
yeah,
there's the shadow figure, which was my father in the painting, and then there was me as a black child in the shielding of a water bird, kneeling, praying. And there's these lines going down into the mind of the father. So in the healing aspect, more of the healing that came through. And there's a fairy above the shoulder of the water bird. So what happens in the transformation, the further on transformation, as I have transformed and walked so many years in my life, I've found more of this transformation. There's an energy of light and love coming through the child's prayers, and that's going in to the mind of the father, healing the thoughts of the darkness taught. I could go on reading, but I won't. But it talks about a child awakens to unveil her wings, innocent soul, young, tribal, born in cold, pale plastic, shocked to the core, mother's womb, no more. So her wings didn't get to grow in the beginning, but by the end, she grew the wings. And in the first part of the painting, where the woman wanted to buy the painting, the wings weren't painted in. So innocence is found in the song of the whales and the dolphins dance, reaching their one love vibrations and greeting salutations. The rainbow snake transmutes the poisons, the shamans, in a trance. Vessels fill the tall one's wing, healing her wounds, growing her wings. And so I painted in her wings that weren't there. And I painted in the light going into the mind of the father, the darkness taught, fought and taught. And so all of that transformation, if had I told it then, it would have been like selling my soul before it was healed.
Got it.
Yeah, so spirit works in these very mysterious, fun ways, and I'm constantly being tickled.
That's what you mean. Because it wouldn't have been the same at all, and you wouldn't be here the way you are, probably.
Exactly. Exactly. And the blessing in it for me is, and this I've known for a long time. Actually, I knew when I was 11 years old that what I was going through, I was going to help people one day. I actually remember being in the incubator. I mean, not the incubator, but that yellow plastic thing that they put you in after, they used to put the babies in after they got born in the 50s. You know, that plastic thing.
Oh.
One of the greatest and blessed gifts in walking through that and, you know, coming out the other side with, well, first of all, forgiveness is the greatest gift I've ever given myself. And to be able to sit opposite another who has gone through so much trauma and be able to know, to be able to sit there and hold space for them as they share, you know, some of the trauma that they've had in their lives. Because I've been through so much, people can feel real safe sharing that stuff with me. And because I've transformed it, and I'm still transforming, it is a life walk.
Yes.
So far. I don't know what the next, you know, this next dimension part is. I feel like maybe we might be just coming to the end of that. Because I'm, you know, like, maybe just all these little last pieces of my life walk are coming, you know, to a closure. But we don't know. I don't know. But anyway, what it is right now is a life walk. But because I have transformed so much and got to and walked through so much and continue to love, I can reflect that for the other person. And because I've done it, you don't have to work so hard, perhaps.
Do you
at least,
really?
At least they know that it can be done.
Okay. I would accept that. That they know that someone did survive going through it. Yeah.
And then they can. you've walked, Coral, you've walked through certain aspects of your life, I'm certain. I think we all have that, that maybe you've walked through something that I couldn't walk through. And so you walk through it, and you survived. And that you did that for me. Whereas I walked through something for someone else who couldn't, and I did that for them as well. We do it for ourselves, but we also do it for the macro cosmos.
I see.
We do it for the collective. At least us women, I think we, a lot of us do that.
And it gets written in some Akashic record, or it has...
Men too, actually. Yeah.
Say that again.
Men too. I said women, but I believe men do it too.
Of space is held for all beings.
Yeah.
So it's like you are coming from a child point of view all the way through the whole your whole life and into the ancient, into the grandfather, grandmother, so that you can understand the whole cycle of life. You're evolving. Your description, it takes a long time to read through what you discovered along the way. Huh? Go back to that. Are you following what I'm saying? When you describe each part of your painting, Creation's Child.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
you know, I think, you know,
it's very internal, isn't it?
I think we as, you know, just as a people have, you know, we walk in through the dark, and we're bringing it back to love. We're back to where we began, and yet because we transform that within ourselves, we're stepping into this light again with that much more gift. More juicy. More spices. More appreciation, perhaps. I'm not sure exactly. You know, I don't think any of us really know what we're doing, but it's exciting, and it's becoming more and more clear for the reason for all of this, and bringing it back to love, because that's really all there really is.
How does a person know when it's becoming more clear? Because they just know?
I can only speak for myself, and I just can feel it.
Mm-hmm. So you know that if it's working for you, that it's going to be good for everyone? Because it's the way it works.
If it's working for me, that's all I, you know...
Mm-hmm.
That's my responsibility, and I believe that work is okay. Working for me, what is that? Am I feeling love when things are feeling it goes out like concentric circles when you drop a pebble in the pond, and it just ripples out. So that love ripples out, and it ripples out.
Okay.
Into the universe.
Yeah.
And I take my conscious inner thoughts, and I ask the mother to take them for me, so that I'm doing something conscious with them, not just thinking angry, negative thoughts and letting them go out into the ether, because they stay there. They swirl around, they stay there. People feel they're negative, and they eventually come back, and they're doing something consciously. Mother guided me to do that. You know, just give it to her. She'll take it. She'll compost it, and she'll make it into fertile soil, into something that's going to be good to grow.
Wow.
For our future. For my future. For our future. I do it has been for all of my relations.
Lovely. I know. It's just the best. And this probably could probably talk another hour to you another time.
My goodness, I think we've gone more than an hour. How long is the show?
This part is generally from 7 to 8, or an hour, and we have from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and 8 to 9, so if it goes over a little, then I have a little less time for the next part, that's all.
Okay. Well, perhaps we should stay so long for now, because it's almost 8:30.
It's excellent. The time flies, and I wish I could fly there. Be there.
Well, you come when you can.
And I mean, you're there.
Thank you for having me on your show. I really love sharing. I really have fun.
You're certainly welcome, Sherilyn. It's a joy and it's a pleasure. I'd like to talk with you more sometime. And hold on, and I'll put on a song, and we'll say goodbye.
Okay.
Off the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love to Radio. This is 101.3, and you were listening to Sherilyn. I'm Coral Reef. Now I'm going to put on this a song from Mystic Troubadour's Lotus Dream.